At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary. It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F221. And if you are one of the lucky people who are watching the video, you will see I'm wearing workout stuff. It's a weird day today. I'm not going to explain why. Where's the fun in that? Why would I explain to you why I'm wearing these very strange, silly clothes? All right, let's get into the words. The first word is friendly. You know how to spell friendly. This is the first form. It is an adjective from before the 12th century. Number one, of, relating to, or befitting a friend. Oh, that's so befitting a friend. That's something a friend would do. As 1A, showing kindly interest and goodwill. That's so kind of you to show kindly interest and goodwill. Goodwill towards people. It's very nice, friendly. 1B, not hostile, right? Just what's the opposite of hostile? Friendly. When I think of friendly and I think of the opposite of that, it's definitely hostile. But it's not hostile. It's friendly. I definitely think that I am a friendly person. If those are my two options, friendly or hostile, I'm friendly. You know, maybe I don't always want to be a little friendly, but I'm definitely not hostile. The example is a friendly merger offer. A hostile merger offer would be, we're taking your company over and you can't do anything about it and we're not going to pay you any money. We're just taking it. That would be hostile. Also, more definition, involving or coming from actions of one's own forces. The example is the one I gave in the previous episode, friendly fire. I think that friendly fire is hostile. That's the problem with that one. Involving or coming from actions of one's own forces, from yourself, something that should not be hostile, ends up being very hostile. The most hostile, shooting with guns. That's pretty hostile. Number 1C, the synonyms are cheerful and comforting, as in the friendly glow of the fire. The friendly glow of the fire. Well, the fire is very cheerful and comforting, especially when you get to get all cozy up near the fire with a blanket, with a hot chocolate or some other hot drink on a cold day. Maybe cuddling up with somebody you like very much next to you. You can get all friendly under the covers in front of the friendly fire. The other kind of friendly fire, the friendly glow. The glow is friendly, the fire not so much. Fire burned bad. Number 2, serving a beneficial or helpful purpose. No example sentence there. That was very helpful when you helped the old lady walk across the street. That was very friendly of you. 3, easy to use or understand, as in friendly computer software. If you're making a computer program, you gotta make it have a friendly UI, user interface, because if you don't, people are gonna be so confused and they're not gonna figure out how to use it. And they don't want to read the instructions, and they don't want to watch any tutorial videos. You got to make it friendly for your friends. This is often used in combination, as in a reader-friendly layout. Oh, that was that magazine article with the pictures and the text was so friendly to the reader because I could understand the flow perfectly, but then sometimes they make them not friendly and it's all very, I don't know, what do I start over there? Do I start, where's the pictures? How do you do this thing? How do you read? Number 4. I don't know, sometimes my brain goes in places and I don't know how to come back. Number 4. The synonyms are compatible and accommodating, as in environmentally friendly packaging. compatible, accommodating, interesting. I guess I don't know if I would have put those synonyms to that example sentence. Environmentally friendly packaging. It's friendly to the environment when they packaged it with so few styrofoam packing popcorn kernels. There's not a lot of those. They used compostable materials. That's pretty good. More places are doing that, but not enough. We still sometimes get like such a waste of crap in there. We use such a big box for such a little thing. Using plastic? Come on. Can we get away from the plastics? Compatible. It's compatible with the environment. Accommodating to the environment. I guess, yeah, I guess it makes kind of sense. This one is often used in combination as well as in the example, a kid-friendly restaurant. It's not a kid-hostile restaurant. This restaurant is hostile just to kids, but it's friendly to adults. No, no, this restaurant is kid-friendly. Kids will enjoy it as well. Adults just sort of have to deal with it, you know, unless they are a big kid at heart. Maybe it's got some video games. Maybe it's got some other games. Maybe it's got some robotic robots, animatronic robots singing a song, playing instruments. Is that a kid-friendly restaurant? Okay, the synonym for this word is amicable. And we know that this word amicable comes from, you know, some early form of a word, a French or a Latin or something that means friend. Means friend. Friendlily, what? Friendlily? Really? Friendlily, yep, that's an adverb. You can do an action friendlily when you're not being hostile. When you're being the opposite of hostile, you are being doing it friendlily. I don't think I've ever heard this word used, and we must use it now. Oh, man, you were acting so friendlily today. Oh, that's very friendly of you to say. Friendliness is a noun. Ooh, I did not think of a sound effect ahead of time. What am I going to do? I don't know. Okay, now we got the second form of friendly. This is an adverb from before the 12th century. In a friendly manner. The synonym is amicably. Friendly, amicably. It's funny because friendly, the word friendly is an adjective. So when you turn it into an adverb, it becomes friendlily. But friendly is also an adverb. So you could stick to that. But I guess if you're, I don't know, I just like friendlily. Sure, that's accurate. The third form of friendly is a noun from 1861. Number one, one that is friendly, especially a native who is friendly to settlers or invaders. Ah, we got some friendlies here. We're invading their country, but they're super nice to us. That's strange. We're being hostile. They're being friendly. What weirdos? Yeah. The problem oftentimes is maybe the people who are living there are friendly, but you are being hostile. You are coming in, taking their land, maybe murdering them, saying this land is my land, it's not your land. So then maybe they become hostile once they realize you are hostile, and then they're not so friendly anymore because you were never friendly. Number two, this is chiefly British, and it is a match between sports teams, and especially international teams, that has no connection with league or championship play. It's a friendly game because it doesn't affect their standings whatsoever. Usually they're very competitive and they want to get all the points and move up in the standings in the tournament thing. But a friendly game has no bearing, I guess. I guess I don't follow those things. They're probably talking about football and maybe rugby and maybe cricket. Maybe cricket should have been my sound. No. Now we have friendly society. Two words, noun from 1703. This is British, and it is a mutual association for providing life and health insurance and old age pension benefits, to members. This seems pretty good, right? a mutual association for providing life insurance, health insurance, also pension to old age people who can't work anymore, give them some money so they can still survive and buy groceries and pay rent or mortgage or something, but they can't work anymore because they're too old. It's British. They call it the Friendly Society because the society is being very friendly to the people who live in the country. Unfortunately, I'm recording this on the 4th of July here in America. I guess it's probably the 4th of July in other countries too. And today, later today, Mr. Stupid Head in the Oval Office is going to sign the stupid bill that just passed, which is going to gradually get rid of a lot of insurance for a lot of people. And it makes me sad. And so this is not, he is not being friendly. All of those people who voted for it, who claim they're Christian, they are not being friendly to their people. They are being friendly to billionaires. Billionaires need to have more taxes. Please and thank you. Even 1%. I don't know what they're paying now. Some of them pay nothing. 1%, 5%, something even small is that would have a huge, huge change. All right, we got to move on. We're going to get our blood pressure up if we keep on going down that road. Next is Friend of the Court. This is from 1776. Interesting. Interesting year, 1776. I wonder if that has anything to do with the constitutional stuff. The synonym is amicus curiae, and I don't remember what that means, but amicus looks like friend, and curiae, spelled C-U-R-I-A-E, I guess means maybe court. So yeah, friend of the court. Friendship is next. Noun from before the 12th century. I think that movie that I just watched not too long ago is called Friendship, the one with Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson, and oh, it's so silly and funny. This is number one, the state of being friends. That's it. You're in a state of being friends when you're in a friendship. Maybe you get on a boat and it's for real a friendship. You're sailing together, being friends. Yay. Number two. The quality or state of being friendly. The synonym there is friendliness. Friendliness. Number three, this is obsolete. The synonym is aid. A-I-D. Aid. If you are giving aid to somebody, helping somebody, then that is friendship? I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's obsolete. It's not archaic. Next is Friend with Benefits. There's a movie called that too, I think. This is from 1997. 1997. Is that really when it came about? This is a friend with whom one has casual sexual relations without commitments. Yeah, that's what it is. If you're friends and you're not in a serious relationship, but you know you're close enough that you're like, we like to have the sexy times, and we don't get to have sexy times with other people, so but we like each other enough and we find each other attractive enough that we would like to have the sexy times together, but we're just friends, we're not in committed relationship with each other, but you know, maybe you know if we want to have sexy times with other people, that's cool. There's no commitment. There's no monogamy here. We're friends, and the benefits that come along with that friendship, are the sexy times. Friend with benefits. I love that this is in the dictionary. I just think that's funny. Next is friar. F-R-I-E-R. It's a variation of friar with a Y instead of an I. Next is Frisian. Frisian, capital F-R-I-E-S-I-A-N. Frisian. I would want to say Frisian, but that's wrong. Noun from 1923. It is chiefly British, and the synonym is Holstein. It says it's a variation of Frisian with an I, or sorry, without the E after the I, which I guess will be coming up later if it's in here at all. Let's take a look. I think Holstein makes me think of a cow. Is that the cow word or is it something else? Yes, Frisian. Frisian is going to be here in a couple of episodes, but I'm not reading it. I'm not going to read it. We'll just have to wait. And I'm not even going to look up Holstein either. I'm going to wait until we get to Frisian in a couple episodes, and then we're going to learn more. So we will just keep, stop. Just chill. Okay? Just chill. Next is the first form of the word frieze, or you could also say frizza. Is that a line? Boy, it's so hard to read. Where's my camera on my phone? I gotta take a picture to zoom in on the thing. Let's see. Is that an A or an A? Oh, yes. It's a long A. So frize, I guess? Frize. It is spelled F-R-I-E-Z-E. So it's frieze or frize. Noun. From the 15th century. Number one. A heavy, durable, coarse wool and shoddy fabric with a rough surface. It's durable, it's heavy, it's coarse, it's wool, it's shoddy, S-H-O-D-D-Y. I think of shoddy as being like not good quality. So I don't know. I guess it probably has some other definitions. Let's look up some pictures of this frieze or frise. Yep, these look like they have some roughness to them. Lots of different patterns. Yeah, of course, I don't work in the textiles and the fabric world, so I've never heard of this one. Frise. Now, number two, a pile surface of uncut loops or of pattern cut and un... What is that word? Looks like part of the letter is worn away. Oh, I think it says uncut. Uncut loops. Yeah, the bottom of the U got worn away or never printed correctly. So it has something to do with the loops and the how you make the fabrics and stuff. So that's the frise. And I guess maybe when you are doing those uncut loops or the patterns and the uncut loops, more uncut loops, then the fabric is the frise or the frise. The etymology is not very helpful, so we shall move on to the second form of this word, which is, this one is only pronounced frieze. It is a noun from 1563. Number one, the part of an entablature between the architrave and the cornice. And those are architectural terms, so if you don't know those words... And you're like, what is a frieze? And then you read that, you're like, but that's not helpful. I don't know what those are. So then you got to go to the dictionary that you're already in, and you got to look up entablature and architrave and cornice. And maybe those aren't even going to help you very much. It might get you a little bit in the right direction, but maybe then you got to go to the internet or go to your library and ask the librarian to help you find some books on architecture. So that is a frieze. Well, I'll post a picture of a frieze on the social media, but I believe that these are often the things, you know, right above the entrance, maybe above the columns, there's that big triangle. I'm thinking of those old Greek buildings and maybe Roman buildings, and they've got some fancy sculptures that are like coming out. They're like half, I talked about these, I think, in the previous episode maybe, and it's a frieze. Because all of the sculptures, all the people depicted there are frozen in time. They're like, I'm frozen. I'm in a freeze. Hold the position. Okay, that is that freeze. And now we shall go on to number two. Maybe this is the one I was just talking about. A sculptured or richly ornamented band. And it might be on a building or piece of furniture. Oh, so no. Yes, it's just a thing maybe that goes around the building or a piece of furniture, and it's sculptured, it's fancy, it's ornamented, so that's also called a frieze. Number three, a band, line, or series suggesting a frieze, as in, a constant frieze of visitors wound its way around the ruins. That is a quote from Molly Panter Downs. Molly Panter Downs, whoever that is. They were talking about there were some ruins, and there was a lot of people who wanted to get in to see those ruins. Maybe they were the Greek ruins, the Parthenon, that maybe had a frieze. And then there was a frieze of people around the building, around the block, for miles and miles it stretched. And that line of people was also called a frieze, and I don't understand why. Is there any etymology? Yes, there is. This is from Middle Latin, frisium, which means embroidered cloth, which relates to the previous word, the previous form of this, about the coarse wool, the shoddy wool. Let's see, also from the Latin frigius, which means Phrygian, that's with a capital P, a PH. And I don't know Phrygian, I don't know what that means, but it's got a capital, so it's the name of a thing? I don't know. But I don't know, it seems like maybe it started off as the sculptures, and then it became just the ornamented thing on a building or a furniture, and then people started using it metaphorically to talk about other things, a band, a line, a series, a whole bunch of stuff. It just became a frieze, I guess. Frieze-like is an adjective. So when I was earlier standing in that funny way, I was standing frieze-like because I was frozen. But it's not related to the frozen thing. I'm just being a jokey joke. Okay. Brup, brup, brup. Next is frig, F-R-I-G. Oh, and we did have, here we go. In the previous episode, we had fricking, which said that the synonym was damned, and it's an alternative of frigging, which is from frig. So now we shall go to this one and learn more about that and also more about fricking. So this is an intransitive verb from circa 1610. It is often vulgar, just like fricking was often vulgar. The synonym is copulate. And you might know what copulate means, but we have a little more information. It says, this is often used in the present participle as a meaningless intensive. Meaningless? I think what they mean by present participle is that you add the ing, maybe it becomes frigging. So we're frigging in the moment? When we are friends with benefits? Why is it a meaningless intensive? I feel like if it's an intensive, it's going to have some meaning. Meaningless? If you understand what that means here, let me know. Maybe it's a specific grammar term that I don't know. this word just keeps on getting better. All right, well, first of all, we have to say, so copulate, it's sexy times again. It's having sex. So frig, which I've never heard of this word. I've heard of frigging to replace the word fucking, but more it's like, you fucking friendly fire, you were shooting me, you're being hostile friendly fire. So you could say frigging friendly fire, but then you could also say fricking, a CK instead of a GG, which basically means the same thing. You're just not saying the real bad word. You're saying a different word that's sort of like a bad word, but it's not officially a bad word, so it's fine to say in front of children. But again, I have to call out that fricking said the synonym was damned, and I don't think damned has anything to do with copulation, okay? So I think it's wrong. I think fricking, the synonym should just be fucking? Sure. But we have some etymology for this frig word, which just makes it even better in my mind. This is from the Middle English friggin, spelled F-R-Y-G-G-E-N, which means to wriggle about. Ooh, maybe when you're copulating, you are wriggling about with your friend with benefits. All right, that is fantastic. Wriggling, copulating, frigging, fricking, all of those words. All right, that was great. Next is frigate. Frigate. So we added A-T-E to frig, and it became frigate. Noun from 1583. Number one, a light boat propelled originally by oars, but later by sails. Oh, I bet those people were so happy when they invented sails. They said, oh, my arms are so tired. Can we put some sails on this thing? On this frigate? Here we go. Let's go. Now we're cooking with wind. Number two, a square-rigged war vessel, intermediate between a corvette and a ship of the line. A ship of the line. I did not know that a corvette was also a name of a boat. I think that's what it's saying. All right, so first of all, let's look up frigate boat, because I would like to know what this looks like. Frigate boat. Here we go. Frigate boat images. Well, these are the warships, right? Wasn't that number two? A square-rigged war vessel between a corvette and a ship of the line. And I don't know what a ship of the line is either. But there, here are some frigates, you know, with those big old boats that you think of when you're, like, watching Pirates of the Caribbean. It's kind of like those old boats. But yes, there are these warships. Some of them almost look like submarines. But now we're going to look up corvette boat? I don't know. Maybe when I read the word corvette, it talked about a boat and I don't remember. Okay, well, now this is showing me red boats that look like corvettes, or corvettes on the water. Corvettes turned into boats? What? I don't think any of these are what I'm looking for. What does corvette even mean? What does anything mean? Everything means nothing. I gotta get the information so we can be all correct and stuff. Corvette, here we go. A warship ranking in the old sailing navies, next below a frigate. I don't know the rankings of boats. I didn't know boats had rankings. I know people had rankings like colonel and general and lieutenant and Beetle Bailey, but I don't know about that. Boats-wise. Number two, a highly maneuverable armed escort ship that is smaller than a destroyer. Yeah, very helpful. Nothing about cars. All right, let's minimize that so we can move on to number three for frigate, a modern warship that is smaller than a destroyer. Yep, that's that. This is from the Old English frigata, and oh, I just saw my light went out. I thought it might die, so that one's probably going to die any second now. One, two, three, go. It didn't go. Now we have frigate bird, two words, noun from 1738. Any of a family of tropical seabirds having a forked tail and large wingspans that are noted for aggressively taking food from other birds. Oh, frig you, birds. You're such a frigate. I'm angry at you for taking my food, you damned frigate bird. The family name is Fragatidae, and it contains a single genus, just one genus in that family, which is the genus Fragata. Let's have a regatta with Fragata birds. Oh, there is a picture of this frigate bird. It is, you know, it looks like a very dark bird. Nothing, no real interesting markings to describe it. Other than one, which I shall say, it's sitting on a nest. And the one thing is that it's got a sack under its beak, under its bill, under its mouth. And this sack is all blown up. It almost looks like an egg. It looks much lighter, you know, maybe with some speckles. And it's all puffed out. And my sound effect, I was trying to make up a sound effect that was maybe the sound of the frigate bird, which I'm sure is incorrect, but I am going to look up frigate bird sound. And we are going to turn up the speakers and, oh yes, okay, I've definitely seen these. These, yeah, they're blackbirds and their sack is red. Red with some black speckles on the side, and it's all puffed out, and I'm sure the males are trying to be like, yo, check me out, check out my sack. They're gonna make a good sound. So, is that it? Well, there's one with... Ho, 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 ho. They're shaking their head, and then they're making a... Wow, they're going at it. I mean, just making sounds and bouncing their head around. Oh yeah, those are some good sounds. That's the closest I can come to making that sound. Not going to do that again. There's no etymology for the frigate bird. I mean, it comes from the family name and the genus name, but that's it doesn't say where it comes from. Nope, that's it. Maybe it's boats? Is it related to a boat? I don't know. Maybe it's related to frig and copulating. Maybe. It could be. I have no idea. If you know anything about frigate birds, you can call me up, send me an email, do all those things. All right, and I realized why that light hasn't gone out and that one did go out, because that one is probably at a higher intensity, so it's using the battery faster. So that one's may go out soon. We'll see. Now, sound effect. Is that the sound of the frigate bird? Nobody knows. Now we have Frigga, capital F-R-I-G-G-A. We mentioned Frigga in the previous episode with, what was it? It was somewhere in there. I don't remember where. I can't find it. It was one of those things. But here we go with Frigga. Oh, it was Friday. That's what it was. Oh, there goes the light. Frigga is a noun from 1597. This is the wife of Odin and Norse goddess of married love and of the hearth. Love and the hearth. And maybe when you're getting all friendly, when you have friend with benefits, you're getting friendly in front of the friendly glow of the fire. And then when the fire is on the hearth, under the hearth, in the hearth, and Frigga is watching over you. And maybe you're doing it on a Friday. And I'm recording this on a Friday. It's Frigga's day. Happy birthday, Frigga. Next and last word is the first form of fright. F-R-I-G-H-T. This is a noun from before the 12th century. Number one, fear excited by sudden danger. That fear got so excited when there was a sudden danger. I hate it when my fear gets excited. The synonym is the word alarm. The example is, gave me quite a fright. Oh, when you jumped around from the corner, you gave me such a fright because my fear got excited. Not in a good way, in a scary way, because there was a sudden danger. Oh my gosh. Number two goes on to the next page. Something strange, ugly, or shocking. The synonym for the whole thing is the word fear. Fright. We'll have more fright words in the next episode. Yep, that's the just a little bit of a section of fright. All right. So this word comes from the Old High German forta, which means fear. So that's what it is. I got a fear. I'm afraid. I'm full of fright. And now I shall pick a word of the episode. These were the words we had today. I'm gonna pick a word of the episode today on Frigga's day. Today we had friendly, 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 friendly society, friend of the court, friendship, friend with benefits, friar, Frisian, freeze, freeze, frig, frigate, frigate bird, Frigga, and fright. And of course, if you have a very strong opinion on what you think the word of the episode should be, you can tell me, you can email me, leave a voicemail, message me on the social media, all those sorts of things. Also, please share this podcast with people. More people need to know about it. And so you are the ones who can help with that. I think I'm just going to pick frig as the word of the episode because I just found the definition and the usage and the etymology all very fascinating and interesting. And the song shall be, let's go friggin' now with our friends with benefits. Let's go friggin' today on the friendship boat. It's called the frigate. That was a weird ending. Now I'm going to tell you about a movie that I watched because we are all done talking about frigging. So, it was interesting that they didn't actually write the word frigging in there. They just said that it's the present participle is a meaningless intensive. It means nothing. All right. The next movie I watched was Life of Chuck. So this movie is based on a Stephen King short story, which I have not read. I should read it. I would like to read it. I don't know how to read. And I don't think it's very horror-y. It's not very scary. It doesn't give you a fright, to my knowledge. Matt, I don't know. There could be a little bit that does. But the movie was very good. The movie is made by Mike Flanagan, who largely has made horror shows and movies. That is his main thing. So I think he's a fan of Stephen King and must have really liked the story, The Life of Chuck. And I saw the trailer a while ago, and it looked very interesting. And we said, hey, we're going to go see this because we are big, big fans of Mike Flanagan, and he can do no wrong. And so I definitely recommend this movie, strongly recommend it. And what do I want to say about it? It's just very good. And I liked it. And I should dance more. This is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Like I said, go share it. Join the Patreon for $1 a month. We'll get you early episodes. Call me, email me, message me if you want to say anything to me. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information all alone. Goodbye. Freeze.